Hi everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to today's episode of Money That Is Intercontinental. Shout out to everyone who has been staying with us, who has been with us this entire time. And you guys have been amazing. Shout out to our listeners around the world. You guys have been amazing. As usual, I have my co-host who brings... She's a host with the most, who brings the fire, who brings the vibe. She's a queen of vibes. Let's make welcome Hassana to the show.
Hi, everyone. Hello. Hi, Femi.
Hi, Hassana. Welcome to today's show. So today, we're going to do two things. One, we're going to throw open an invite. We're not saying we're going to pick everybody, you know, but if you have an interesting story about cross-border payments for your business, for your school fees, for work, where you work, and for your employer, send us an email, reach out to us on Twitter, on Facebook, on Instagram, on LinkedIn, or on Substack, whichever one, wherever you're listening to us from, reach out to us. We would like to hear your story. If you had to pay school fees from, you know, Nigeria, from Ghana, from Pakistan, you know, countries that usually have issues with payments, or you wanted to, you know, pay a supplier in China, in South Korea, in Belgium, you wanted to make a payment for your business and so on. You know, we want to hear from you, those challenges that you have faced. Reach out to us, and you never know, you might just be on the next episode of Money That Is Intercontinental with Femi and Hassana. Am I correct, Hassana?
Yep.
Yeah. Now that that's out of the way, Hassana, do you want to like open today's conversation? Do you want to introduce today's topic?
Yeah, today we'll be diving into the side of international education payment that most families never think about until it hits home. So this, and by the way, we're on the 20th episode. This will be the 20th one.
Yeah. Okay, shout out to you, Hassana. You've been an amazing co-host. It's been fun doing this with you. Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of work. You know, well done, well done. Very well done. And shout out to our listeners who have been with us for the ride, 20 episodes. Wow. Yeah. Wow. You know, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. So, yeah.
So, this topic is titled Bank Strikes, FX Shortages and Policy Changes, basically the risk families don't see. So yeah, grab a seat, because today's story might sound familiar and it might just save you a lot of stress later.
I think, you know, there's a story here, but I'm going to share it in a different way. Because sometimes, you know, somebody gets admission into school or someone is already in school, and they're supposed to pay tuition. And so the family has to first go through the process of raising the money. Now, that process can be anywhere from 1 day to 6 months or a year, depending on the family. And now you finally raise the money, but the bank's on strike. Or there is a new policy from the government saying that per payment cannot exceed beyond a particular amount. I remember I used to live in a particular country where school fees was about $3,500, but the maximum you could receive in your bank account at a go was, I think, $2,000. So it was almost impossible. Sorry, not just at a go, in a month. The entire money that enters your account in a month should not exceed $2,000, although otherwise the bank would flag your account. And so it meant that you couldn't pay your fees at a go. I mean, people had fees of $4,000, $5,000, even in some cases $7,000. But, you know, it meant that if your school fees was about, say, you know, $6,000, you would need 3-4 months to finish paying your fees. Bear in mind, within the money that you are being sent is also money for allowance and all of those things. So a lot of students got stuck trying to make those payments. And the semester is 3 months. So, you know, can you imagine what happens when you cannot receive more than 2,000, you need your house rent paid, you need your feeding allowance and all those things. And at the same time, you need to pay fees. But your fees is about, you know, $6,000. And the bank says you can't get more than 2,000 after going in a month. It puts you in a very tight corner, a very interesting position. And that's some of the challenges that international students face abroad. Some of them assume that, oh, once I send the money to you, you'll be able to, the payment will go like in a couple of hours, which is not true. Sometimes it takes about 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 working days to arrive at the destination because there's a lot of middlemen, you know. Hassana, let me hear what you have to say about these things as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with you because like you said, most people, most families, people paying school fees, they just think, oh, she has to send the money. I just send it and it works. But it's not that easy because a lot of things need to work. Like the system need to work together. Banks, correspondent banks, FX, compliance team, and everything. And when one link in that chain fails, the whole process stalls. It could be anything. It could be bank going on strike. You're working up and down. Nothing is working. It could be the platform or app you're using to send money fails. Something can happen. And most families don't really see this. They just think, oh, I have the money. I can pay without any issue. Like I said, there are bank strikes, there could be sudden FX restrictions, exchange rate issues, international bank delays, so many of that. And then the family becomes stuck in the middle, anxious, uncertain, and maybe facing late fees or enrollment penalties.
And I want to say this, that, you know, shout out to every international student listening to this or who's going to listen to this. You already go through a lot. And none of this is your fault, even though it sounds like it is, even though you have to bear the consequences. There are stories of people who lost their admissions in the UK and some other European universities because their parents didn't arrive on time. And the money had left Nigeria. But between Nigeria and all the banks in between, the money never arrived, or it arrived really late. And by then, you know, their students' visa had been revoked. They had been kicked out of school. And it was just a very anxious and difficult situation to go through. And so there is the missed deadlines, you know, not just losing the admission, even existing students or current students lose their place in school because, or they are unable to write exams because the monies did not get to their destination on time. Sometimes the family has to raise alternative money through unofficial channels to get the money to its destination. Sometimes they never get refunds as well. Sometimes they get, you know, penalties from the school. I know it's school that some of these universities, once your school fees is late, I don't understand how they think that makes any sense. Because this person is supposed to be a student. But for every time you have late payments, that money has interest. So, for example, your school fees is £10,000 and the money didn't arrive on time. By the following month, when you cross the deadline, there's now an interest on the £10,000. So let's assume it's now £10,200 for the sake of argument. £10,200, the following month, the interest will now be applied, on £10,200 and not on £10,000. So now we're £10,005. By the time you are a month late or 2 months late, you're already at £11,000 or £11,000 plus. Just that's an extra £1,000 just on interests alone. So it's a real, real burden. It's a real issue. And many students, their mental health, anxiety goes through the roof, you know, because they are really worried about these things. But I think we have some safeguards, some tips here. Asana, you want to check that?
Yeah. So we can't control strikes, we can't control policy changes, but we can plan smartly around them. So that's why we want to share tips on what families can actually do to avoid these disruptions. First one I'll say is to plan ahead. Don't wait until the deadline week to initiate a payment. Start early to give room for unexpected delays. And you should also try to diversify payment channels. Never depend on just one method. Have a backup or have the main solution, which is OneRemit. And by OneRemit is designed for international school fees payments. Even when banks are down, you know that this is going to get the job done. Also, monitor FX trends, exchange rates fluctuate daily, track them and make your conversion decisions early to avoid any surprises later. And also confirm receipts early once you have paid. Always follow up with the school to confirm. But with one remit, you can track your payment. You know where it is at a certain time. So when it gets to the destination, you are sure it has gotten the destination. The peace of mind with one remit is priceless.
And I'm not just saying that. I've seen a situation where there was this issue and the school kept saying they haven't seen it, they haven't seen it. Now, whether the school was lying or not, we don't know. But what we know is that they kept saying they haven't seen it, they haven't seen the money and all of those things. And what kept the students in school during those periods when they haven't found the money was that they had the receipt of the payment, the bank and the copy of the bank teller that was used. So they kept presenting that and they made copies and that was why they were able to stay in school. So the school was like, okay, you have this. We'll keep checking on our end until we are able to resolve this. So if they didn't have the receipt, they didn't have like the bank teller and all of proof of payment, they may not have been able to stay in school. So those things are very, very useful. Remember, if you also stay in a country like Nigeria and a few other countries, policy changes happen overnight, right? I remember there was a time in Nigeria where all the international cards were blocked and all the students who were paying school fees using their international cards or their Naira MasterCards suddenly overnight could no longer pay it. So it created a lot of issues. So you can't control that. You can't control the bank. You can't control the foreign exchange availability or shortages. You can't control the government of the day, but you can control your action. And in this case, you can choose to work with one remit. All right. One remit is www.oneremit.co. That's www.oneremit.co. I take that again, oneremit.co. And for the last time, oneremit.co. Right. Hassan, any last words for our listeners?
Just want to say that if your child or someone you're sponsoring is studying abroad or is about to resume soon, don't wait for a crisis to remind you how fragile this system can be. So take control with one remit to explore how you can make tuition payments fast, transparent, and stress-free. Because we believe that your child's education shouldn't be at the mercy of unpredictable systems.
Very, very correct. We look forward to catching you guys on the other side. Like I said, if you have an interesting story for us, as regards paying internationally, some of the challenges that you would have, then please share with us, reach out to us, and you never know. You might end up being our very, very first, should I call it external guest or, you know, a guest on, or social media guests. Let me use that word. Social media guests from on the platform. All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And bye for now.